There are times when, in the midst of, especially at times of graduation, where we'll hear the phrase, "You can be whatever you want to be," meant to encourage young people to strive for a positive impact in the world. Now, I'm all for young people having a positive impact in the world, and I'm all for them striving to do that. But the phrase, "You can be whatever you want to be," I often want to say, you know, that's not true. That's just not true. I think within the reality of our lives and our gifts and our strengths and abilities and our education, all that stuff, I think we have options. But we cannot be anything we want to be. I know as a young kid, I desperately wanted to play center for the Boston Celtics. But at 5'10", that is not going to happen. Now, within the reality of my life, I think I had options, as you had options, to be what God wants you to be, and to have an impact on that world. And so, what I'm trying to say here is, I think there has to be reality. There has to be reality. If as followers of Jesus Christ, we should be people that are most committed to reality, the way things are, not some happy clappy form of life, but to be committed to the way life is. And the way life is that there are limits on us. We have limits. And I think it's a disaster to immerse ourselves in unreality, to immerse ourselves in some sort of happy thinking that is totally disconnected from real life. And so, in this series of sermons on enlarging your soul through grief and loss, we're going to be committed to reality, not to some positive thinking, happy thought place. Because loss marks the place where the most radical change and transformation for good can happen in our lives. When you think of stories of people who have overcome and done good things for the kingdom of God or for the world, usually, I bet about 99% of the times, they are people that have gone through really, really hard things. And they were transformed in the midst of that to be something different and to change and to engage the world with their loss and their hard things. Loss is a part of our lives. So much a part of our lives. The most powerful of those losses being losing a loved one. But we experience losses all the way through. I'm experiencing the loss of aging. I can't do what I did at 40, at 20, at 62. It's just not happening. There's loss there. And I can think in my head that, you know, when I, for instance, like playing racquetball or something, I can think in my head that, oh, yeah, I can get that. I go, nah, there's no way. It's just no way. You know, there's a loss there as we age. And sometimes we begin to think as loss as something alien that comes into our lives, and so the best way to deal with loss and grief is just get over it. Get over it. And I'm going to put before you as we enter this series that I don't believe that we are to get over loss and grief. I believe that we are to take it full measure into our souls and into our lives so that our souls expand and we become more compassionate, more caring, more merciful people. So that's the end point where we're headed. But all of us face those losses in our lives. And really, the story that Carla began to read for us today in Job chapter 1 really goes into Job chapter 2 as well. And Jonathan Edwards, who is an American theologian and pastor way back, wrote a sermon that the story of Job is the story of us all. He noted that Job lost everything, and we're going to run through that in a bit, lost everything in a short time frame. He lost it all in one day, actually. But most of us experience these losses over a lifetime. Until we find ourselves at the door of death and we leave everything behind. We leave everything behind. You know, the question was asked of a person who had millions, and they were wondering, well, how much did he leave? How much did he leave? And the funeral director was kind of hearing that, and he goes, well, he left everything. He left everything. You leave it all. You don't take anything material with you. And so, Jonathan Edwards said, Job's story is really our story. It's just that we spread it out over an entire lifetime. Along the way, we lose our youthfulness. Along the way, it's possible that we lose our dreams of what we thought life was going to be and how we pictured it. Along the way, we lose our routines and stability and transitions and in change, and children grow and move away, and parents age, and then you become the caretakers of the parents while they took care of you growing up. And some experience catastrophic loss. A family member dies, or there's an affair in the family, a divorce. There can be cancer. The company downsizes, leaving you unemployed. A child is born with a handicap. There's infertility. There's miscarriages. There's broken friendships. There's loss of memory. And at times we even lose all of our wrong ideas about God and the church, and we can be thankful for that. We invested so much in certain ways of following Jesus, and we come to find out later in life that that was foolish. Even wrong. Or we're betrayed by a church tradition or a leader. We lose our illusions about the church and not a perfect family with perfect people, and we can become disillusioned about church life. And that's the reality. That's reality. And how do we face all of these losses that come? Well, the story of Job, I believe, helps us. And we're just doing a very brief introduction of it today, but look at it more closely in the weeks ahead. Job was the Jeff Bezos of today. Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world. Amazon. I think you've heard of it. And Job's wealth was staggering. The Bible tells us that he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. Those were very prestigious animals in their day. Now, I know we think, we don't want camels hanging around our yards, but that was prestigious. He had 3,000 of them, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, along with a large staff of employees, servants. And if